Okay, the first time we met together, we talked about what it means to honor your mate. And that's the first and greatest principle of building any relationship. And when we honor our mate, it's the same concept of giving value to an object or to a person. So we actually place value on that person, and they can become as valuable as we want. From 0 to 10, you can decide how valuable your mate is with all the activities and all your interests in life. And the exciting thing is, as we value our mate, as Jesus said, whatever we treasure, that's where our heart will be. That's the first concept. The second concept we talked about was the concept of nurture. And here we have an example of someone who doesn't know how to nurture a fern. And therefore we get the consequences of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding and skill. And a lot of personal relationships that I know of around the country, the relationship between husband and wife, it looks like this plant. Because neither the husband nor the wife understands what the relationship could be in Christ, and especially the husband does not gain the knowledge necessary, so therefore he doesn't know how to nurture his wife or children. Do you know that God has given wives and children as his spies to see how a man is learning how to nurture? Because they are responders to love. See, we love God because he first loved us. We love our wife and children love us because we first initiate the love to them. And they respond to this love. And I see that in my family every week and all across the country. And then the third concept we became involved in discussing is what it means to forgive and to stay into harmony. If I step on the spirit of my wife, she will close her spirit to me, and everything else closes. She'll react, resist, and it's my responsibility in Jesus Christ to untie anything that I have personally caused. Now, I could say that my wife is self-centered when she gets her feelings hurt. I could use that as an excuse to ignore the problem, but that's not being Christ-like, because Jesus didn't do that. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, would you forgive them? Would you release these people? Would you set them free? Because a lot of them don't even know what they're doing. And a lot of times, I do not realize what I'm doing. So Norma is in the process of helping me be set free. And Norma really is in the process of helping me develop good relationships, both with her and our children and other people. She helps me every week with most of my relationships around the country and helping me stay attuned and what actually does build that relationship. So that's the third area. The fourth area is how you can become one as a couple, where she feels like the helper and the completer by learning how to praise, minimizing your negative criticism, especially the angry criticism, and emphasizing the positive. Even if we don't feel like praising another person, we can praise them if it's genuine. If I see something about the way you dress, if I like the colors you've chosen, I can say, I appreciate that outfit you have on. And your shoes match your blouse, you know, and I like the white collar that matches, you know. And I can say those things to a person, and I can do that on a regular basis. And the more I do it, the easier it becomes, the easier it is for me. So that's the concept of building relationships through praising. Now that's where we've come so far with the four relationship principles. Now the fifth relationship principle is a way that a husband can immediately decide to be wise versus being foolish, or he can also immediately begin to have his love for his mate grow. Now this is both for the husband and wife, but it's especially true and important for the husband. Here's the fifth concept of building relationships. Develop a willingness to learn from our mate. That's expressed through the book of Proverbs, but especially in chapter 9, verse 8, where it says that the wise love reproof. They receive correction. They love to learn. And they love those that correct them. So we can actually grow in our love for people when we allow them to help us in the areas that we need to make adjustments in our life to strengthen our relationships. There's not a man here that in some way does not need to adjust some area of his life to strengthen and rebuild some relationship, either at home or at work or a friend or whatever. All of us can make some adjustments to improve our relationships with other people. Now, it's the wise man who's willing to admit that he has something to learn, that he can learn. It doesn't have to be something that we automatically desire, we say to ourselves. In other words, I know that a lot of you are not going to run home today and say, "Oh, great, I can hardly wait to be corrected by my mate. Please just give it to me." See, that's not our basic nature. No one likes to be corrected. All of us have a tendency to avoid someone telling us where we're wrong. That's my nature, it's your nature, and that's just the way it is. But I don't have to live that way. The way God has created us, with the way we have the ability to think, the difference between our physical makeup and the animal makeup, is that I can decide over my basic nature. I can make a decision even if I don't feel like it. And I never feel like being corrected. But I can welcome it and accept it because it's wise to do that. Now, why is it important to be corrected? Why is it important? Well, number one, it's important because I am the nurturer of my home, and if I want to know how I'm doing with my garden, and I just ripped this off in the process of bringing it up here, and so now I can tell that I'm in big trouble, so whoever owns this plant is going to correct me. But you see, I need to know how I'm doing because some relationships, they can be going along beautifully for a while, and all of a sudden something happens to really strain the relationship. And I have to have the knowledge to know what to do and how to put this thing back in here, and or I have to know how to put it in water or something to get this thing growing again so I can get it back in there and have the same relationship again. Well, that's the reason I want to be open to learn from my wife, because that's her strength, and I want to receive her as my helper and completer. And she lets me know gently and tenderly and lovingly when I do things like this, and it's very important to be open. Also, where does the energy come from to seek correction or to learn from those around us? Where do we get the energy? It just so happens that in James, the 4th chapter, verse 6, and 1 Peter 5, 5, that whenever you and I humble ourselves, become the servant, become willing to serve the needs of those around us, the moment we humble ourselves, we receive the grace of God. The more humble, the more grace. So that, you see, I need all the energy I can get. I need all the strength I can get to receive from other people what I need to do to improve. When I humble myself, I get the grace of God, which is His strength and desire to help me live the Christian life. That's what I gain. Now, I make a decision to humble myself, because that's exactly what it says in 1 Peter 5, 5. It says, decide to be humble. Humble yourself, that God might lift you up in His power. Well, how many of you realize that every time you say to your mate, "Honey, I really want to learn how to be a better wife, a better husband, would you help me?" You know how humbling that is. And you know how much more humbling it is if they have something to say. And that's just the way we receive the grace of God, by actually deciding that we are going to humble ourselves and that we can learn, because it's wise to do that. Now, who gives the best correction? Or who can help us in our life in a way that really we benefit the most from? Well, number one, there are really four basic sources, but number one, the one that really helps us the most is our mate. For the husband, it's my wife. Norma's the one that can really help me in building relationships. She's the one that can help me in life in general. She makes me more alert. There's a fellow today that teaches financial principles to Christians around the country, and he says as part of his presentation that one of the greatest things a man can do is to have his wife help him in important financial decisions that affect the family, affect his future. Because a woman has an intuitive ability to sense things. And we're thinking more of the analytical type. We're going to see A plus B plus C equals so and so. And you can give your wife a situation that you face, and just like that, she'll say, "I have uneasy feelings about that." And you say to yourself, "Wait a minute. What do you mean you have uneasy feelings about that? Give me a break, will you?" And we're still trying to figure it out, see? And we're a little bit intimidated by that. But you know, for years, Norma would say, "Now, Gary, if this doesn't change over here, I can see we're going to have some problems down here." "Ah, what do you know? I'm the graduate student. You know, I'm the one that, I know what's best. What do you know? You know, I interview a lot of wives, and I've had a lot of women say to me, my husband makes me feel like I don't have the sense to come in out of the rain. Just by their, by our nonverbal expressions, by not listening, by not watching her, by not really taking the time to seek out what she has to say. Women have incredible ability to intuitively see and understand certain things around them. And if we can capitalize on that, and actually that's a strength that she has, well, she has been such a help to me. And you know what? Year after year after year, Norma's been predicting this and predicting that and all these things. And since the scripture talks about her being my helper, when I start seeing all these things come true today when Norma speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. So I listen because she has been so correct in so many ways. Even the last home we bought, her involvement in choosing that home, I probably wouldn't have chosen that home. But we had to come to a place where we sold it. It sold in 10 days, the second person that went through it, because they saw the same things in it. That's one of the reasons why women make such outstanding realtors, because they can see certain things that some men cannot see. Not that we can't learn those, and we can and do learn these things, but there's such a strength that a woman has that if a man will understand that, it can add to his total capacities. Well, second source that we have of learning from other people, of being wise and not being foolish, because see, fools hate reproof. So we have that choice. They resist it. Our parents. When we go to our parents, you know that the scripture says, if a child can learn to honor his mother and father, things will go well with him in this earth. That's the very first commandment with a promise. That's re-emphasized in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. And if we can learn that, because see, a lot of people, things are not going well with them. And they come to me for counseling, and they're frustrated and upset, and they never realize that years before, or even today, if their parents are still living, they never had learned what it means to value their parents and to express value to them. You know, one of the best ways you and I can value our parents is to seek help from them as we're growing up. Asking him to help us in our job, asking him to help us to improve as individuals. You know that when my relative, when his wife left him, one of the best things he did was he went to his mother-in-law and said something like this. He said, you know, I realize that I have really caused you a lot of pain because I've really hurt your daughter, and I know that. And I want you to know that I probably will never understand how you've suffered because of how I've treated your daughter. And I'm becoming more and more aware of how insensitive I am as a man, how self-centered I am as a man, how unaware I was of the things I was doing to her. But you know what? I'm becoming aware of that. And I know that now you've been offended by that. And I'd just like to ask you, will you forgive me as your son-in-law? You know what? She forgave him, and she became one of his greatest agents. Every time she would get with her daughter, she'd say, why don't you go back to that nice man? And she'd say, hey, Mom, you don't live with him. You don't know what it's like. And she kept encouraging her daughter to go back to my relative. And after about a year, they came back together. And today you would not recognize their relationship because they're so much more in love. And the strong relationship they have today. Which shows us that you can have a relationship dissolve and it can come back stronger than it ever was before. If we understand the principles of building relationships. And that's important. So our parents are a real source. Our children are a super source of gaining ways of improving our life and our relationship. Especially if you have daughters. Because daughters have that same ability. See, when they go through puberty, they don't lose a lot of that sensitivity. Like men, we go through it. That hormone's flowing through us, you know, and we're out there. And we're just not as alert in interpersonal relationships as a woman is. So if you have a daughter, what a super opportunity to ask her, how do you feel Mom and I are doing? Let her help you as a man, because you see, the scripture says that honor always follows humility. And when a man humbles himself with his children to learn from them, they have a tendency to respect us and to honor us, to value us, because they can see it. It's just that we're not aware that we have such a valuable source. You know, I used to have this habit in my personal life. I'm sorry I had it. But I used to flick my children. When they would do something wrong, you know, I'd just reach across the table and bong, you know, on the head or something, and I don't know where I picked it up, but the kids would be doing something. Like one time, Greg or Michael was listening to the television. This motel was getting ready to go speak to one of these marriage seminars, and Michael had a little bit of fluid in his ears, you know, and he couldn't hear that well. And so I was saying, "Michael, turn the TV down." I was trying to get ready. "Mike, turn that TV down." He wasn't paying. Bong on the head, you know. He turned around. Yes. So he turns it down, you know, and I just go on my way, not knowing how they're what they're feeling. Well, one time we were in a restaurant. So Carrie was doing something. She's our 14-year-old now, but she was younger at the time. And I just reached across the table and went, bong. You know, she's probably chewing with her mouth open or something, you know. And Carrie, chew with your mouth closed. And I went on eating. And Norma, in her courage, which I really appreciate about her, she said, "Carrie, how does it make you feel when Dad flicks you?" I went, "Oh, no, here we go. You know, here we go. I got to go through this area of learning how to be wise, and I don't want to be foolish, so I'm going to learn this thing. And I'm not that open to it, you know, but I'll do it." And so Carrie began to describe how she was feeling, how it humiliated her, how it devalued her. And then I realized, wait a minute, I made a decision that my children are important to me. If that devalues them and that makes them feel the way she's describing, I don't want to do that anymore. So I said to my kids, "Tell you what, from now on, I don't want to flick you anymore because you're too important to me. I tell you what, from now on, I'll pay you $1 every time I flick you." Oh, they say, "Great," you know. And now the problem is they never forget that kind of thing, and which is great. So I remember this one time where Greg came into the house and he had this big candy bar and nuts in it and things. He'd purchased it from somebody outside, door to door, and he walked right in front of all the family. And we all said, "Hey, Greg, what do you have there? You know, it looked great." And he said, "Oh, it's just a candy, you know, trying to hide it." And I said, "Hey, can I have a bite?" And all the kids chimed in. Can I have a bite? So he breaks off these microscopic pieces, you know, and passes them around. And Mikey said, "And where did you get that, Greg?" And he said, "Oh, outside from someone." He said, "How much did it cost?" He says, "Oh, $1. And Mikey looked right up in my eyes. He said, "Dad, would you flick me?" See, they never forget. Now, I very seldom ever do that because that used to be a real habit of mine. I don't like giving out money, and I don't want to devalue my children. But you know what? Our children can really help us in developing our relationship with them if we let them. You know, we do as a family. We, at the dinner table, many times, I'll say, "You know, tonight what I'd like to do, if it's okay with everybody, I'd like to just have a time where we help Dad improve as a father and husband around here. Could you stay a couple of minutes and help out?" You know, my children never say, "No, I'm bored, Dad. I got homework to do." They always say, "Yay, you know, let's get into that." And that sometimes can stay an hour. And I get some clearly defined things. You know what also happens? It's infectious. They do the same thing. Right at the table after they've worked me over. See, and I don't mind it because I know I have. You know, if you haven't been corrected in the last 2 weeks, do you think it's because you don't need it? No. It's usually because people don't think you're wise. Because they think you're going to react. And only a fool reacts. Only the natural man reacts. A wise person, according to Scripture, does not react. A wise employer. You know one of the reasons why Delta Airlines is not unionized? Because the management carefully listens to the employees. They're sensitive. And they reach out. And they learn. And they praise. And they encourage. And the same principles that build a family build a company. You want to increase the morale in your company? Open up the management to be reproved. In an orderly way. And watch what happens to the morale. Especially if they see the changes. I know of a high school principal who opened up an opportunity for the student body to help him be corrected one time when he felt the whole student body and many of the teachers were reacting to something that he had, a policy that he had developed that no one appreciated. And he heard a number of the students, a number of the teachers express their disinterest and dislike for the idea. And he came over to the public address system and said, "The policy that I enforced the last few days, it was not a wise decision. And I want you to know that I've learned from many of you, and I want you to know that I've eliminated that policy. And I'd also like to ask those of you that were offended by this policy if you'd forgive me." Over the loudspeaker, they did all the classrooms. You know what happened to the respect of that man? Instantly, he was the respect and the admiration for that man increased. And that's exactly what Scripture says. Honor follows humility. One of the greatest needs of a man is to be honored, is to feel respected, is to know that somebody considers that we're important. Well, if that's the case, as we humble ourselves and really become the servant that Christ wants us to be, we gain that respect. We actually even help our wife fulfill her godly responsibility of learning to reverence her husband. Makes it easier for her to do that. So, our children are a real main source. Another source, the fourth source, are our friends. Now, friends, of course, the ones who know us the best, are the ones that can really help us in developing as a better person, more Christ-like, and can help us refine our life so that we can walk more in the path of what Christ wants us to walk in. So He gives us the desire, and He gives us the energy through the Holy Spirit. But you see, we have to know how to walk and where to walk and where we're walking in the wrong area. Well, our friends can really help us. A few years ago, I was discipling about 6 or 7 guys on a weekly basis. And I got overbooked by speaking around the country. And I started to cancel some of our meetings that we were having on a regular. Every Wednesday we were meeting together after church. And I was missing more and more of them. And I went to Hawaii and spoke and here and spoke and there. I came back from this one trip, and they were in the meeting, and I came into the meeting, and they set me up. They gave this story about this fellow, and they asked me what I thought they should do. What this is the question they had about what they ought to do about this guy. And I felt a little uncomfortable about this story, because it sounded a little bit, you know, like it was right home, you know. And I was uncomfortable, but I thought, well, they're not setting me up. There's no way they could do that. Well, they did it. And they did a royal job on me. They began to point out 2 or 3 areas of my life that was really offending them, and that I had committed myself to them, and I was sort of breaking my commitment by traveling so much. And I was justifying by saying, well, I'm in God's work, and I'm going around the country doing what's right. And that's what a lot of people who are involved in ministry do. They say, well, because I'm in God's work, it's okay for me to do that kind of thing. But it isn't okay. The Scripture is very clear when we make a commitment to a group of people that God wants us to keep that commitment, especially if it's in love, and especially with our family. So anyway, they shared all these things with me. But you know what they taught me in real life? What they taught me is that you can reprove someone, and I saw it happen even again this last summer. You can reprove someone severely if it's gentle and loving, and they'll receive it. They were so gentle with me, and they were so tender with me and sensitive. They even got out of their chair one time, you know, patted me on the shoulder and said, we love you, and we know this is hard for you to hear. And it was hard, you know, I was just laying there, you know, practically, you know, going, this is incredible. But they loved me, and I knew it. And it was hard for me to know what to do. In fact, during the session, I thought, you know, this is incredible. I'm feeling that they're reproving me, and yet I feel such love. And I received that love. And they said, let's don't even have a discipleship session next week. Let's just get together and just pray for each other and just love each other, because we really think a lot of you. And I just relaxed and thought, I can't believe this is happening to me. But you see, that's my friends did that on their own. Now, I had an option. I could have said to them, hey, I don't deserve this. You know, I don't appreciate this. I've given a lot to you guys. Or I could say, thank you guys for sharing. Because only the wise, now, do you think I felt like being wise? No. But the wise receive it. And that's what's significant. So, how do we seek correction? Well, simply, number one, we decide to agree with Scripture in Proverbs 15:5 and 12:15. We just make the decision that it's wise to do that. Secondly, we simply admit to God and to those around us, especially our wife and our children, that we have a lot to learn. And that we're open to learning. 3, we need to schedule regular times of learning from our mate. I actually go on special dates with Norma from time to time, just for the purpose of learning. How many of you wives would resist your husband saying to you, honey, let's just go out and help me tonight, just help me improve. And you spend 2 hours maybe, or 3 hours, really dragging out of her, clarifying how you can improve. And in fact, even in doing that, having these regular times of being reproved, we need to remember that we can't react or resist what they give us. Because if we resist, they'll have a tendency to avoid it from then on. Now, this is the fifth way of developing relationships, opening ourselves up to learn from our mate. It's a wise decision. Next time when we get together, we're going to be talking about another, probably the second greatest strength of a husband, and what causes a woman to feel like a woman and allowing her to be a woman. And what a husband can do about that to really strengthen and encourage his wife.